1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, we got some good news today. We got news that our very good friend, Coach Jeff Jagosinski, the former tight end coach with the Green Bay Packers, he has assumed the same duties with the Atlanta Falcons. And so now, I'm a Falcon fan. I never was a Falcon fan. I never had much use for the Atlanta Falcons. Neither did a whole lot of other people, if you want to be honest about it. But I dig the Falcons now. And Coach Jags, give us a call when you get a chance. You guys got one hell of a coach down there in Atlanta, in Coach Jagosinski, who coached Bubba Franks to, what, 4 Pro Bowls, Janice? Something along those lines. And so we're very excited. We're very happy for you, Jeff. Green Bay's good town, but Atlanta, you know, there's obviously a hell of a lot more to do in Atlanta. And the ballpark is great, the Georgia Dome. And even though no scrambling quarterback has ever won a Super Bowl, and that'll be the case in Atlanta with Michael Vick, and I hated to break the news to you, Jags, but you're with a loser. No, I'm kidding. Who knows, man? You never know. Is it Jim Mora or Jim Mora Jr.? Why don't you say Jim Mora Jr.? It ain't Jim Mora. It's Jim Mora Jr., the new head coach down there in Atlanta who hired Jeff Jagosinski. Good man. Other show news. We're back on the air in the Twin Cities on KSTP. And we're very excited about that. When I say back on the air, I was on the air there back in 1993 on another radio station, on a very big, huge, humongous, large, sweating, gaping oaf of a radio station. And it's the big one. I won't mention any names, but it starts with a W. And anyway, it was one of the most frightening experiences of my life. I really loved Minneapolis. I didn't like where I was working. Some about how they walked around behind my back and tried to get my sponsors to cancel on me. Can you believe that? I worked at a radio. Only in Minneapolis would that happen. That happened to me. It never happened to me in any other city. But up there, I was on this other station, and the people, the staff members, the on-air people, would go around to my sponsors and try to get them to cancel because they just didn't like me. And so I left that town with a tear in my eye and a spring in my step, because after that, it was on to Miami. And quite frankly, you know, I love you guys in the Twin Cities, but when it comes to spending my off days, Miami has got you beat by a little bit, just a little tiny bit. Some about the beach and a lot of thongs. Yeah, I don't know. You know, call me crazy. Call me nuts. But anyway, we're very excited to be on KSTP in Minneapolis. Thank you for having faith and trust and the love to put us back on. Now, today on our radio show, we are going to have Vernon Dozier on to talk about banning graduation ceremonies. Graduation ceremonies should be banned because if kids are as gullible as we think they are, they're going to be getting up there and trying to imitate Janet Jackson while they're getting their diploma. You're going to see people dropping their pants, pulling their tops up, and it's going to be bad. And you, with all your grandmas and grandpas out there that you invited to your grad ceremony, and your little brother and sister, and they're all going to go, ooh, as you drop your trowel, it ain't going to be too cool. Also, Larry Grover on banning gay marriage, he doesn't mind banning, he doesn't mind the gay marriage between men. But the gay marriage he wants to ban is between lesbians, because they're the homosexuals that can still be cured. So that's coming up on our show today. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Now, we have a new feature on our show, and it's called When Life Imitates Phil. You've heard the slogan, When Life Imitates Art, but quite frankly, it's a little bit more specific than that. It's When Life Imitates Phil. And there's so many examples of that in the news, I don't even know where to begin. But here's one that was in the news today. It's very current, and we'll show them what we're talking about when we say Life Imitates Phil. From Brevard County, Florida, a man says wife died in 9/11 tragedy, but she didn't. This is out of the news today. The September 11th terrorist attacks killed many, many people, and in a way they took the life of a Brevard woman who wasn't even there. This is a story of 9/11 fraud and deceit and someone trying to cheat the system. It's great. Florida in the sunshine. We've been very, very, very happy, says Donna Laskowski. For Donna and her two sons, life was finally on the right track. They moved to Florida to get away and hide from an abusive father and ex-husband. Even years later, the boys don't want their faces shown. All was fine until son Stephen got a strange phone call. The message was from Stephen's father and said the family had come into a large sum of money. He was asking me all kinds of questions about how to deal with and invest the money. I had no clue what he was talking about, explained Stephen. Confused by the message, Stephen called his father back and during the conversation heard the name of the family's old insurance agent. So Donna decided to call that office. Are we going to get to the point of this? Anytime soon? Anytime soon. I'm talking to you.
Yeah, we will. It comes up. It's explaining it's explaining the background.
Yeah, but I don't want to read the whole freaking thing, man. I don't want the back. In other words, this guy pretended like he had a wife who died at the World Trade Center.
She
Am I right about that?
There.
Huh?
And she wasn't even working
and
there.
And she wasn't even working there. Is he married?
I'd have to review the story. I don't
remember. Anyway, this is the story that was in the news today. How does life imitate Phil? Well, it just so happens 2 years ago in November of 2001, we had a guy unnamed Don Parsley who claimed he lost his wife in the World Trade Center.
Hello, how you doing?
Yes, sir.
Listen, this guy, I don't know what he's doing on the air and why he's saying...
Because I need money for my kids.
No, you don't need money. I don't even believe... First of all, you're making a mockery out of, what, 6,000 people that died? And you can't be a con man because any decent con man couldn't make that many mistakes as you've made. It's called cracking at a turn.
I'm not making mistakes, sir. My wife...
You live in Jersey?
I beg your pardon?
You live in Jersey?
Yes, I certainly do.
What city do you live in Jersey?
I live on the coast.
What? Where on the coast? What city?
Over on the ocean, on the coastal. In what city?
So you must live in Camden then, right?
That's exactly right.
Camden is all the way inland. Get this bum off the air, will you? He can't say one thing that's true.
Where do you live, man?
I live in Atlantic City. I didn't know what he was asking me.
He was asking you, what town do you live in?
He said Camden.
Isn't that where you said I lived?
How does he know where you live?
Question. Wait a minute. What county is Atlantic City in?
Okay.
What's the name of the county?
Why do I have to be insulted when my children are starving and hungry?
Okay, look, just answer the guy's questions, all right? Because we got to know.
I don't have to be insulted.
We got to know. What was your question, Michael?
What county is Atlantic City in?
What county is Atlantic City in?
It's in Orange County.
It's in Orange County. We don't have an Orange County in New Jersey. It's in Atlantic County. Get rid of
right.
this guy.
Okay, that's right.
I don't know. You know what it is?
You know,
I don't think... Hey, Don,
you don't
have the nerve to hang up the phone.
Okay, have you ever lost a loved one in a building that exploded?
I'm 57 years old. I've lost a lot of loved ones.
Okay, then you know that you
forget
sometimes.
You're worried about being insulted. Let's see if you got the nerve to hang up the phone.
We're not going to get any money for you, man. You came on my program and made me look like a jackass, all right? First you're living in Orange County, then you're living on the coast, then you live in Camden, which is in inland, and you're explaining it all away because you happen to be distraught over your wife's death. I understand a guy being distraught over his wife's death, but not to the point where he forgets what her name is or gives her three different names.
Her name is...
This guy is not a con man.
What is your name?
He doesn't make that many mistakes, okay?
That's right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Mentally disturbed.
You're right.
Mentally disturbed.
I'm not a con man.
Well, then why don't you hang up the phone? Because we are insulting you. You're a black liar, sir.
Have you ever received any
help? You've insulted us as Americans, and you've terribly insulted all of those people that died there. Why don't you go to Rockaway Beach and tell that story?
Where?
And they'll shred you up like a set of fringe.
Go to where?
Rockaway Beach.
That's where I'm from.
There you go. There's Don Parsley from November 2001. He lost a wife in the World Trade Center. Well, guess what? So did Stephen Laskowski. Well, I guess he didn't because it's a whole big sham. Mr. Laskowski claimed his wife Donna was working on the 12th floor of one of the towers when it came crashing down. He turned in paperwork requesting more than $1 million from the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund. His wife's name was even listed on the Victims Compensation website as a victim. He said, yes, according to a TV reporter who tracked down Laskowski, he said, yes, my wife died in the World Trade Center. And then Thurman informed him, who is the reporter, see, what I have a hard time understanding is I interviewed your wife last week. And Laskowski says, you did? Where? And this guy says, you understand these papers that you filed with the government claim that she died in the towers? Your wife told me she's never been to New York, never been to the World Trade Center. You're sure you're talking about the right Donald E. Lukowski? He said, yes. To which the guy said, well, that changes everything, doesn't it? He claimed it's all a misunderstanding, even though he had talked to his son since 9/11, and they say never brought up that their mother might be dead. Lukowski now says he'd refuse the money. My wife's alive. That's great. She's since contacted multiple agencies. The wife, Donna, has contacted the FBI and 9/11 compensation group, but has yet to see action, so she and her boys still won't rest easy. Maybe this big, maybe this one big thing that he did, if justice is served properly, he'll stop. This will be an ending point, she says. So he's a screwball. So if you think that Don Parsley's nuts, and then what else? Steve Bozell files a lawsuit against Janet Jackson and CBS. 3 days ago, somebody else filed a lawsuit against Janet Jackson and CBS because she exposed NIP. It almost took 3 days, but the first lawsuit's been filed in connection with Janet Jackson's boob. A Tennessee woman yesterday filed a proposed class-action lawsuit on behalf of all Americans who watched the Super Bowl halftime show and were injured by Miss Jackson's adorned nipple. Ha-ha! Steve Bozell was suing because why? Because he didn't show the nipple on TV, and as the result, his friends don't like him anymore. Instead, he was showing the lingerie bowl. So ours had a little kind of a creative twist to it. The lady who has filed the lawsuit said, I was listening to the Phil Hendry show, and I got the idea to... I'm kidding. She didn't say that. In the federal complaint, Terry Carlin, a 47-year-old idiot... contends that Jackson's exposure and other sexually explicit conduct during halftime festivities caused viewers to suffer outrage, anger, embarrassment, and serious injury. Well, you heard about this, I'm sure. It's probably been on every freaking morning show, but Steve Bozell is suing not just because of losing friends, but also because his friend Roy Hutchins said, I've got Janet Jackson's nipple on TV, come on over, guys. So half of those dudes left his house, and he was just busting out the meat platter and the soft drinks. All right, it's the Phil Hendry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. Vernon Dozier on banning graduation ceremonies because we can't have a repeat of the Janet Jackson incident. And Larry Grover on gay marriage. He's not against it for men, just women. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Well, guess what? Yesterday I had this discussion with people about, you know, maybe we ought to have a constitutional amendment to make it legal to torture a guy if he has information that would lead to the whereabouts, the saving, the safe return of a kidnapped person. But it's all academic today. They found the little girl. She's dead. She's dead, so I guess I was wrong. I guess it wouldn't have done any good. And the Constitution is safe. She's dead. They found her dumped like a sack of garbage behind some, I don't know, a church or something. And the guy that did it, who the police feel is, you know, reasonably certain did it. I know, he's innocent until proven guilty. Yeah, I get it. I understand it. Probably better than a lot of people think. I understand perfectly what innocent until proven guilty means. But we also recognize, of course, that the DNA was found, and her DNA was found in his car, and that it was possibly had some information as to the little girl's whereabouts. In fact, they found her body because he had mentioned something to another guy in jail, and that guy told police. But you're right. He's innocent until proven guilty. See, all I was talking about is saving somebody's life, but the world of talk radio, and for that matter, the world of talk television, has become such a place of can you top me and can you top this and are you smarter than me? Nobody's interested in any truth anymore. All they want to do is make their point and get a pat on the head from the host, right? Innocent till proven guilty. Yeah, all right, okay. Good, man. You know, here's your cookie. Very good point. I just think that if the guy had, if somebody taken like an acetylene torch to one of his eyes, maybe they could have found her. Maybe not. By the time they this guy was in custody, it was Tuesday, and she was abducted on Sunday, and I think they indicate she was killed between Sunday and Tuesday. It wouldn't have done any good. And I realize it probably doesn't do any good to put to you this possibility that they, what if they had gotten a hold of this guy before then, while she was still alive? But then I suppose everybody else out there who disagreed with me yesterday, having the hindsight of 2020 hindsight, would say, yes, but he abducted her by himself, so she was probably alive. So you see, you're wrong, Mr. Hendry, wrong. Anyway, yeah, like I say, it's academic. The little girl is dead. And she, you know, just one more piece of crap is going to go, you know, before our courts. And then when they stick him in the chair, or they try to stick the, you know, stick the tube up his vein, there's going to be a group of people standing outside the prison with umbrellas and torches and, you know, Bic lighters, talking about how the death penalty is murder and all of that stuff. And it's okay. You got that right to do that because, I mean, it probably is morally wrong, but it's efficient. The guy that killed that little girl, whoever he is, will never be rehabilitated. Whoever he is, he will never be rehabilitated. And barring being rehabilitated, there's no point in keeping him alive. I ain't saying have him torn apart by wild animals. I'm not talking about revenge killing. I'm talking about the efficient disposal of garbage. Now, everybody has a garbage disposal. Everyone, some people have trash compactors. We have our societal trash compactor. It's called the death penalty. And you take this piece of crap, and you stick them on whatever gurney you want, and you can electrocute them however you want to do it. It's just that's the end of the road for you, pal. You're done. But what if we're wrong? What if the DNA evidence... I understand that, but we're getting more and more the ability to correctly identify killers because of DNA as well. We're not only letting people out of prison, we're finding the right guy a hell of a lot more. So that's the end of that story, and we can move on to something else. It wasn't Elizabeth Smart's happy ending. It was, you know, another dead kid here in America. Just another kid trying to walk home, be a kid, go to a sleepover. Another dead kid turns up in a freaking dump someplace. Another dead body tossed in a dump somewhere. And, you know, and America continues to be the slaughterhouse that it's always been. Talk about the way kids are treated. Here's a country, the United States of America, I don't think kids are treated worse in any other country in the world. Honest to God. And it ain't got anything to do with Bush. And it hasn't got anything to do with Kerry. Doesn't have anything to do with Democrats or Republicans. It's just the disposable nature of people around here, man. It's just another kid. Now, there's going to be somebody who says something really stupid like this. Why was she allowed to walk home by herself? And here is my response to that. Why can't she walk home by herself? Instead of picking her up in an SUV or an armored personnel carrier with machine guns on the top and driving her home from her sleepover, why don't we do something different? Why don't we try something completely different? Why don't we make it so that little kid can walk through a parking lot or a back of a freaking gas station or wherever the hell it was and not get murdered? Why don't we do that? Well, that costs money. That takes more cops. No, it doesn't. It takes freaking people out there who got their eyes open, maybe. Who give a crap about their fellow man. You know, all of that corny golden rule stuff? Anyway, we got a story here. Let's move on to something light. Let's talk about Hitler here in a few minutes. No, I'm kidding. I have a story here about... Oh, this is how to read a news story. It's coming up. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Best of the Year 2003 CD, by the way, The Death of Talk Radio, available if you go to myfriendsplace.com, go to homelessyouth.com, or call 1-877-616-7445.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, we're going to go to our mailbag here on The Phil Hendry Show. Dear Phil, I would completely endorse the idea of torturing information out of some scumbag. The only problem I have with the plan is the phrase, whom the police believe to be involved. Instead of picturing your daughter as the victim, picture your brother as the accused.
Well, you just said the wrong thing there, pal, because...
No, I'm kidding. Do you really trust the clowns at the local PD? What info did they think Rodney King had? Tom Phoenix. Yeah, I do trust the clowns at the local PD, sir. Don't you? If you don't, what, you know, why are you even living in America, man, if you don't trust the cops? Seriously, you don't trust the cops, either do something about it or move to Mexico. They're very trustworthy there. Bobby Dooley said to a caller, Bobby Dooley to caller explaining how her son came to watch his elderly female window washing client go to the bathroom. She said, come on, big beast. And he thought she was talking to him.
Is this the best line? Is that what that is?
I'm 50 years old and I laughed so hard and so long I thought I might embolize a brain vein. I guess that's the best line. Is that it? Funniest line?
He was commenting on the actual piece, not the line.
Bobby Dooley to caller explaining how her son came to watch his elderly female window washing client go to the bathroom. She said, come on, big beast, and he thought she was talking to him. I'm 50 years old and I laugh so hard. I don't get it. Do you? You do get it? Dear Phil, I love your show and I've been listening for years. I'm a bit upset though at your recent rants regarding the Janet Jackson escapade. While I do agree with you, that the so-called unplanned nip shot could be considered as offensive to some people, especially those people who had children watching the game with them that afternoon, I find it a little contradictory coming from a guy who ordered the pay-per-view lingerie bowl that same day. If you're so pissed off at the fact that your daughter was exposed to such a lewdly choreographed dance number, what the hell were you doing watching a bunch of half-naked wannabe models attempt to play football while she was at home with you? Look forward to your show every night. Loyal backstage pass holder, Brad. Gee, Brad, here it is. Are you ready for this? My daughter wasn't in the room with me. It was just a bunch of guys, okay? My daughter wasn't allowed in the room with us while we were watching the lingerie bowl because they knew that Daddy and his friends were watching something at halftime. What I said yesterday was, how about giving us the heads up so we can tell our kids something's going to be on TV that they can't watch? That's what I did with the lingerie bowl, but CBS didn't give you that option with Janet Jackson's bad self. Hey, Phil, I love the bit you did with Dave Oliva and the Pursuit Back East. I've been an L.A. cop for 25 years, and I've seen tons of young Hispanic kids join the department. I happen to be Hispanic, and I was impressed with the accent. Bring them on a few more times a month. Thanks. Roy Ballesteros. Dear Mr. Henry, regarding the missing little girl, you say, and the police believe that this is the guy. Do you think the police are always right? The problem is that you do not know with 100% certainty that the guy has the knowledge you want. So we go down your road. They begin to torture. The guy doesn't break. They continue with the piano wire. They go a little too far. The suspect dies. Then they find out that they had the wrong guy. I have a daughter. Nothing this guy said so far is breaking me up. I have a daughter, and of course I'd do anything I could do to get someone whom I suspect knows where she is if she were missing to talk. But that's why the law is carried out by objective, cold, third-party individuals, so justice is not trampled, because I might be wrong. This guy's name is Phil, by the way. You're absolutely right, Phil. By the way, they found the little girl because the guy told somebody other than the police. But you're right, he may be the wrong guy. Phil, you would be singing or screaming a different tune if you were innocent and having a false confession extracted from you by torture. Sometimes you really piss me off, a fan. Phil, I just wanted to wish your cat a happy birthday, Andrew in Seattle. Hey, Phil, I would completely endorse the idea of torturing information out of some scumbag. The only problem is... Oh, I already read this. There's our mailbag. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, just to show you that this was really about the talk show host being wrong, okay? Because that's if there's one thing that I stand for in my show, and which makes our show different from other shows, among the many things that makes it different, it ain't about me. It ain't about me, see? You don't hear me reading my press clippings here like you hear some guys do. You don't hear me talking all the time about how, you know, me this, me that, me this, me that, in relation to the rest of the world, right? It's just me talking about the world. But I'm not quoting somebody's criticism of me, and I don't have a personal axe to grind with newspaper writers, and I'm not going on and on about any of that stuff, right? I just want to bring this stuff up, see? Talk show radio listeners are used to a different kind of show. They're used to arrogant imbeciles that host shows who are constantly going on about how they're the lightning rod of truth or whatever their bullcrap pitch is, right? So they react to that. So here's what I'm going to say to you. I agree that torturing somebody, you may have the wrong guy. You're absolutely right. I allow for that possibility, and I agree in that instance I would be wrong. But you have to equally then agree. It follows that you have to then equally see that your reluctance to torture that person could get somebody killed. You must admit that, or the whole thing doesn't make any sense. You can't, there's no 100% right in this question. There just isn't. There's no 100% right in it. If you want me to say, yeah, Henry, go ahead, torture the wrong guy, and then what happens if you're wrong? Okay, you're right, it would be bad. It would be a drag. I don't torture the guy, and then a little kid dies. Now how do you feel? You guys cannot sit there smugly, those of you who wrote those letters to me, I should say, smugly and say, well, I still feel good because the Constitution... Because then I know you're full of crap. Then I know you're just, you know, talk show groupie number 853,000 who wrote me an email. But if you can honestly say, yeah, you're right, it would suck, man, if this guy had information and I didn't get it out of him and then someone died as a result, you're right. Now, here's where I stand on all of that stuff. Between risking torturing a guy who's innocent and losing the life of a human being, I would rather risk torturing a guy who's innocent than losing the life of somebody who's a human being. So that's just where I stand. I'd rather somebody lives and maybe a guy gets a couple of teeth pulled by mistake than the other way around. And I'm getting from the guys that wrote me these letters that they would rather that guy keep his teeth, even if it means someone dies. And you know what? I'm not there at all, so forget it. You're wrong. I win. Yay! Now moving along. Anyway, we have a flashback here. Lloyd was on our show yesterday. Lloyd Bonafide is a Korean War veteran. You got to understand something about veterans. When they see a flash of metal, when they see a hand moving toward them, they instinctively go into combat mode, hand-to-hand combat mode. That's why he never likes anybody reaching in and grabbing the door of an elevator that he's already on and stopping it to get on, because it happened the other day. The hand was the hand of a mother, and the flash of metal, well, it was a baby stroller. Never mind that Lloyd kicked the stroller upside down and the mother, you know, got pushed. Let's hear how it all came down.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I'm a mother of four, and the point I wanted to make is, in his statement at one point, he had said that the woman said, can you please hold the door? And he's talking about respect. He needs to respect that this woman is a mother of four, and maybe her children will be going off to war, and he needs to respect her. And how arrogant is he to say that the elevator only belongs to him?
No, I didn't say that, but, you know, I'm on the elevator. There were three other people on the elevator. Where does she get off telling me to hold the elevator? In other words, I was fast enough to get on it. Why doesn't she hurry her often pregnant rear end up?
You're saying to me that a pregnant woman with children deserves no less respect than you? My grandfather was also in the Korean War, and my grandfather, whenever he sees a pregnant woman or a woman with children, will always hold the elevator for her.
Yes, you will.
Will always hold the door for
her. If you're behind her, you'll hold the door. But once I'm on the elevator and I'm ready to go, now she comes along with a couple of kids who you say may be veterans. For all I know, they may be at San Quentin.
What nationality was this woman that you're assuming that her children will end up in jail?
She looked an awful like a lot of these, some of these whites that lived out of the... We have a couple of mobile home parks in Monrovia, of these whites...
So not only are you arrogant and self-absorbed, thinking that it's only for you, but you can make judgment calls about other people.
No, ma'am. All I'm saying is for these arrogant people to take a second out of their so-called busy day and check and see if a veteran is on the elevator before you put your
kid in there. How is she going to know you're a veteran when all she's doing is trying to get an elevator?
First of all, she said, will you hold the elevator? And I said, no, I will not. She got her answer. So why then does she begin to intrude on my life and the lives of the other people on it?
So she said, you said, no, I will not, and then proceeded to kick a baby so hard that it flipped through the air. And if you were trained, to recognize what things are. So you must have known.
Good point. Good
that
point, Rebecca.
She had a stroller.
I saw a flash of metal. A woman's arm with the red fingernails.
Most strollers, sir, I have four children. Most strollers are made out of plastic and they're blue.
Well, ma'am, you
would have been able to tell the difference. And if you were trained in personal and close combat, you would have known the difference. I think, sir, that you were pissed off.
No, dear, she should have had the common decency to wait for another elevator instead of trying to cram us with the... How dare she try to frighten me further by cutting off my air? And
your air?
The claustrophobia of an elevator is one thing. To put a baby stroller in there,
she's
trying to cut my air off.
This
and
is
that's
not
a personal
respect
threat.
Issue. This is not a respect issue. You've got like personal problems that you need to deal with.
Ma'am,
I'm
saying that every day is a survival issue.
I thank Rebecca. We do need to take a break.
Well, I want to make this final point, if I could, Phil, to simply say every day is a survival issue for... And if you see a metal stroller, fine. You see a metal stroller. I see a Chinese rifle. And it was a very distinct rifle. The Chinese used an M1. And sweet living Christ, who is busier, a stupid woman with a kid or a man fighting for his life at the Chosin Reservoir? Last time I checked, I held a rifle in my guts in the mud, and she's got a throw-up bib on her shoulder looking for the play school.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Wow. Wow. That's very psycho. That's Lloyd Bonafide, our Korean War veteran on the Phil Hendry Show. Now it's time for How to Read a News Story. Now coming up, we have Vernon Dozier on why we should ban graduation ceremonies, because all you need is a kid up there in a cap and gown pulling her bra down and showing it. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's right. Also, Larry Grover on gay marriage. Republicans support gay marriage between men. They're against gay marriage between women because gay women can still be cured. All right. 1-800-449-8686. How to read a news story. Here's a news story, and then I'm going to tell you how to read it, because every now and again we do this as a public service on our show. People just read the story, and they are swept along by the reporter's intent, not the information. I'll give you an example. This story says, taunts, tears, follow race lesson. Taunts, comma, tears, follow race lesson. Parents say an elementary school instructor's outlandish technique for teaching children about segregation has fostered fear and confusion among students rather than a fundamental understanding of racism. Do you hear what's wrong with that sentence right away and why a lot of people are suckered in? Parents say. Doesn't say that that's what's happening. It's what the parents say. But right away, the reporter wants us to kind of go down that road. Parents say an elementary school instructor's outlandish. Outlandish. You know what outlandish is? It's way out there, baby. Way out there. That's like a guy in a dress. That's outlandish. Teaching, a technique for teaching children about segregation has fostered fear and confusion among students rather than a fundamental understanding of racism. That's what parents say. They're not teachers, of course. Officials at Manch Elementary School, and this is in Las Vegas, I believe, have launched an investigation into the unusual Black History Month lesson, which involved separating children by skin color and giving preferential treatment to black students. They're investigating, which means something was done wrong. I know that's not really what it means, but that is the, that's what's read, see? They've launched an investigation into what was an outlandish technique because the parents say it happened. Clark County School District officials declined Thursday to discuss in detail exactly what unfolded in Laura A. Mazzulla's library sessions with students this week at the school near Craig Road and Nellis Boulevard. Every time you read "declined to say," you are supposed to, you're supposed to interpret, oh, you got something to hide, do you, huh? Yeah. See? The parents are talking. They must be right. No. It is generally policy that you don't publicly comment on matters concerning an employee. Just because they're not talking to the Las Vegas Review-Journal doesn't mean that things aren't under control, okay? The Las Vegas Review-Journal is the last thing on their mind right now. They got a situation they're dealing with, teachers, students, parents. They don't need some reporter coming around bothering them. Well, what about the public's right to know? You know what? The public can freaking wait. How about that? But officials confirmed they asked Mazzulla to cease the teaching method Wednesday after receiving calls from three parents. Three. And guess what? They found one of the parents. Didn't they? Yeah. They found one of the three. Now, they don't quote any of the parents who might not have had a problem with this, and they don't quote any of the parents who might have, don't care one way or another, and they don't care one of the parents, they don't quote one of the parents who might have thought it was fantastic. They quote Stacy Goh, whose daughter Amber is a third grader. All the African-American children were given board games to play, and everyone else had to put their heads on the table, and they weren't to look up or speak. She told them that she believes in everything that Martin Luther King had to say, and she wanted the white children to know what it was like to be black back then. Oh, no, not that. Not a lesson in how people lived. Not a lesson in seeing the other side of a situation, to walk a mile in a man's shoes, so to speak. We don't want that, do we, Mrs. Goo? And then Mazzulla allowed the black children to taunt their white classmates. The black children were making fun of the white children, saying things like, "You deserve this for what your ancestors did to us." And the teacher was letting them, Goo said. Well, I could go on and on, but that, you get the gist of this whole thing, okay? Three whole parents. Not parents. When you say parents say, that you think maybe 50? Three parents say an elementary school instructor's, rather than outlandish, unique technique for teaching children about segregation, has fostered questions among students, in addition to a fundamental understanding of racism. Now, that's probably the way it ought to read. That's the Las Vegas Review-Journal. You might want to pick it up and read it about five times to understand it. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Tell us again, Vernon, Mr. Vernon Dozier is with us. He's with Governor Schwarzenegger's. Right now, you're with the governor's, with the state of California's public school southern section, right?
Correct, Phil, for the next couple of months, working with very closely with Governor Schwarzenegger's administration, and I'm very happy to be doing that.
You're an educator, right? You're a teacher?
Yes, I am. A high school teacher, and I have been for 26 years, so we're excited about the opportunities that we might have.
Tell me about the recommendations that you have made in light of Janet Jackson's and the public outcry over Janet Jackson's display on Sunday.
Phil, thank you. We are concerned about our graduation ceremonies this year. You have, across the state of California, and frankly across the United States, millions of young people who will be attending public graduation ceremonies. At these public graduation ceremonies will be many elderly relatives, many young children who are going to attend this. These are family members. Some of them are friends who are going to see this young person matriculate to the college level. It should be a very, very proud moment. What we obviously have seen over the last week in terms of public behavior is this Janet Jackson episode. Her behavior at the Super Bowl at halftime was witnessed by so many young people. A woman who is held in very high regard among adolescents, especially young women. So for her to behave the way she did, knowing that her influence is so pervasive, is very regrettable. And we cannot take the chance that some young people viewing that Janet Jackson display wouldn't be interested in mimicking or involving themselves in something similar.
During their graduation ceremonies?
That is a possibility, yeah. So we are very concerned that you're going to have an awful lot of impressionable young people. And one thing I know about kids, we love kids, and I've worked with kids all of my life, but they are very impressionable. You pretty much show them something interesting, and they'll do it. We've all heard the old saying, you know, monkey see, monkey do. It's really true of adolescents. They're young, they're impressionable. So much of the reason why we get so much joy out of our kids is also the reason why they frustrate us sometimes. They are like, in a lot of ways, a monkey, having a pet monkey or something. You love watching them, but you also know that they're not capable of understanding the world around them in any technical way. So,
well, let me say this, Mr. Dozier. I've received a lot of emails from people who are concerned that your proposal is extreme. And tell people who haven't been listening what it entails.
Well, regrettably, Phil, we want to recommend and have recommended to Governor Schwarzenegger canceling public graduation ceremonies, at least for people that we consider to be young people, we consider to be a risk to this kind of behavior. I agree with you. It is a radical step and one that I would not take gladly. But we have to, we cannot, and I want to underline that word, we cannot have a repeat of Janet Jackson's behavior in a public school forum where families are involved, where children are, and so forth. And so barring last-minute resistance from, I'm sure, the Democratic side of the aisle in a lot of these states, I would hope the governor will pass this. And if he does, other states will follow suit. We are fortunate in California in so many ways to lead the way, in effect, for positive change. So if we ban the graduation ceremonies just for this year...
So young people will get their diplomas how, in the mail?
Through the mail, absolutely. It doesn't mean that they won't graduate. I want to make that very clear. Just that the public graduation ceremony for this year, and we will take it on a case-by-case basis, would be banned.
What are your concerns? I mean, what are you afraid would happen? Are you saying that Janet Jackson's performance was so influential that kids are going to go up there and expose themselves?
Well, hey, Phil, you need to understand young people. I have four children by my first wife, and kids soak up what they see. They experiment with different things. Many kids are like an empty vessel that you can program to do just about everything or anything. I mean, we've all heard as I said, the monkey see, monkey do. That pretty much sums up kids. And if they see an icon like Janet Jackson engaging in provocative and risque behavior, they automatically want to repeat it. It doesn't make them bad kids. It doesn't make them evil. It's just that level of, I just don't know what you say, stupidity, that the basic kids are just sort of basically dumb on that level. And it's just a matter of time and place. They will do it. Don't worry about that. They will do it. It's just when and how. And I can tell you right now, I sure as heck don't want it to be one of our graduation ceremonies. If they're going to expose themselves, I'd rather be in the privacy of their own home than standing there in front of, you know, a lot of people removing clothing or that kind of thing.
All right, let me get our phone number out here, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Vernon Dozier, who's recommended to Governor Schwarzenegger that public graduation ceremonies be canceled for this year only, that there be no public matriculation or graduation of high school students. Given the Janet Jackson episode, there is a fear that kids are going to want to mimic this. There is a fear that that they're going to get up there and expose themselves. You work for the state of California, but you can't tell. But we can't tell other states what to do.
Well, I am telling them what to do from the standpoint of this. I'm a father, and if I saw my daughter
on graduation day go up on the stage to get her diploma and pull her pants down or pull her dress up and point at her, you know, at her private area. I'm just saying to other school districts across the country, you are well advised that this kind of thing could happen at a public graduation ceremony, a moratorium of some kind on graduation ceremonies.
But to me, it sounds like you're punishing all the kids, even the good kids that would never do anything like this or wouldn't want to disrupt the graduation ceremonies.
Well, we don't want to punish all the kids, Phil, and I do believe you can screen out any kid who potentially engages in this activity. The kids that we would consider allowing some kind of public graduation ceremony and to get their diploma are obviously the ones that we trust.
How do you determine that?
Well, you determine that, Phil, by just choosing the kids. You can tell the kids that helped out around the classroom, that you know, that assisted the teacher in taking books to her car, or bringing a gift whether it's an apple or some kind of thing like that for the teacher. Those are the kids who have a mind of their own and are not swayed by some dancer. And I don't even know if Janet Jackson, frankly, has a high school diploma. That's a question that I think should be. Does Janet Jackson even have a high school diploma? Did she complete fundamental high school education? I doubt very seriously if she did. And that's why I don't think she has any respect, really, for high school students. So she pulls her top down, or she pulls her pants down, or whatever it was she did. I don't even know.
Justin Timberlake.
I heard that she had pulled her pants down, and that's not true?
No, sir, that is not. It was Justin Timberlake, a dancer, who pulled her top down.
But with her consent?
Yeah, with her consent.
Okay, well, I think it needs to be determined. Did she even get out of the eighth grade? I doubt it. In that case, did she get a high school diploma? Well, of course not. And so what kind of respect would she have for any kid who did want to get a high school diploma? None. So why not get up on a stage, pull your pants down, or as you say, take your top off, or squat, or spread, or do any of these things? And what do you care whether a kid sees that and mimics it? And this Jennifer Lopez is known as one of these people too. So these dancers that our kids like,
I'm not familiar with Jennifer Lopez doing what?
Ms. Lopez is known as someone who's very salacious as well. I can't cite it, but my understanding is she pulled her pants down and you know, pointed at her bottom or something like that in a nightclub. Is that not correct?
I have not heard anything of the sort. No.
All right, I could be wrong, but all of these people are the same, and look what they're doing to our kids.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. A proposal in the state of California and its school districts across the country: should we cancel public graduation ceremonies this year in light of the possibility that so many kids are so impressionable they're going to want to pull some kind of a Janet Jackson stunt up on the stage as they're getting their diploma? Here is Tony. Tony, you're on with Vernon Dozier and Phil Hendry. Go ahead, Tony.
Yes, this is absolutely crazy. I mean, we got shows on the air like Temptation Island, all kinds of shows. I mean, kids watch videos all the time. If this, well, probably 2 seconds of a woman's breath on TV is going to scar your kids the rest of their life or make them that impressionable, then I think you as a parent are not doing your job.
Well, look, Janet Jackson pulled her top off knowing that children would see it. She was sending a message.
Okay, every night on.
And the message was this: I don't respect you. I want you to go out and do this. You know, Tony, if you have children, that they're not very bright.
I have two young boys.
All right, so, and you know how, and you
they
know
were
how,
they were watching the Super Bowl.
And you know how stupid
it wasn't
kids
a big
can be,
deal
right?
to them until it got in the media. They were sitting there watching it with me. They didn't react all crazy until the next day at school. They had a discussion about it.
All
then
right.
They came home to me, and that made it a big deal.
Do you want to watch your boys to make sure they don't try to mimic this behavior in public, or do they? You know,
I do everything in my power. And see, I'm not afraid of sex and explaining sex to my kids, even at the age of 8 and 12, so they will understand it's
a
responsible It's a very responsible act.
Of course, but what are you going to do if your son takes his pants off in a restaurant?
In their household with their kids, and that's the problem.
We understand
need everybody else to give us examples of how to raise our kids. Talking about
right.
sex.
But I have a question for the caller.
All this banning, your graduation, all that.
Well, you know, Tony, you're telling me how to be a parent. You're telling me how to be a parent. But let's talk about Janet Jackson's responsibility here. I can't. What if your son decides to take his pants off in a restaurant and
Janet
he says,
Jackson
Janet Jackson.
Have any responsibility to my kid? I don't care how big a star she is. No
right,
football
so
player,
in other words,
no
if your son takes his pants off in a restaurant, if your son takes his pants off in a restaurant, you don't blame Janet Jackson.
No.
Well, that's ridiculous, and I would strongly ask you, sir, to reconsider that point of view.
No, you need to reconsider.
No, sir.
If you let Janet Jackson have that much influence over your kids,
she already does.
You as a parent are not
she
doing your
does.
Job.
She already has that influence, sir, because she
she's
marketed herself.
You are not doing your job as a responsible parent if Janet Jackson has that much influence.
Can
over
I ask
your
you
kid.
To monitor your
yes,
boys?
Yes, she's a mega star.
Yes.
Some people want to be like that, sing like her. But if you were that your parents going to go out and drop their pants or show their
well,
pants,
I'm
you
saying,
as a parent, you need to check yourself. Not
no, sir.
Check Janet
no, sir.
Jackson.
No.
Check yourself.
If a child says, if your son says to you, Daddy, I showed my toilet area today in school because Janet Jackson did it, are you then going to say it isn't her fault?
I'm a responsible enough parent that I know that my kid won't do something because he saw Janet Jackson do it.
All right, Tony, thank you, and hold the line, Mr. Dozier, 1-800-449-8686. It's really interesting to hear an educator, Mr. Dozier works with the school districts in California, talk about the effect of a performer like Janet Jackson on the young people who do respect and in many ways emulate her. Did her display on Sunday, that is, disrobing partially, should that prompt people to cancel public graduation ceremonies? Because the kids are impressionable, and they may try something similar. They are proposing it in California. They're proposing it in other states. Should public graduation ceremonies be canceled because the kids may try to emulate Janet Jackson and take off their clothes up on the stage? It's as simple as that. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Whitney Houston's dealer. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, Vernon Dozier is an educator here in the state of California. is saying that pretty much across the country, public graduation ceremonies might be banned because of Janet Jackson's display. Kids are impressionable; they may try the same thing or something outrageous. Isn't this, before we go to a call, isn't this not respecting our kids?
Phil, I don't think that it disrespects our kids at all. I think it takes into account that they're kids, that they're not yet completely formed human beings. And I want to say one other thing. I'm the guy who has to take the call the next day from an outraged parent, from an outraged alumni, from an outraged alumnus, I should say. If some kid goes up on that stage having seen what Janet Jackson did, having seen what Jennifer Lopez has pulled in the past, some kid goes up on that stage, pulls his pants down. I mean, in the worst case scenario, what if he goes up there and does something insane, defecates on the stage, or performs some sex act? All of this has to be taken into consideration. We have hundreds and thousands of parents, elderly people, children, and some punk goes up on the stage because Janet Jackson pulled her pants down at the Super Bowl. Now he goes up on the stage to emulate her or some of this other nonsense and defecates. Now I think you know what I'm talking about. And I don't want to be the guy who has to take that phone call. That's why we are trying to do something preemptive.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Fred. Go ahead, Fred.
You know, it's just amazing that I can see where the education system is in the way it, the shape it's in. We have leaders like that. It takes such an overboard approach. You know, I find Ms. Jackson, Ms. Jackson's actions highly inappropriate, inexcusable, and very unprofessional at her age, especially.
Of course.
However, for me, a parent who has raised my children to have respect and take accountability for their actions, under no circumstance should I feel or they would feel like, okay, yes, it's Ms. Jackson's fault. No, that is not how we teach our kids, and that if you are a good parent and you are instilling these values, you should not have to worry about
sir,
these
that things.
To punish individuals who have worked hard for 12 years and are finally at a point where they're about to graduate and basically rob them of that one special moment in their life in front of their family and friends to reward them for all their recognition, especially the valedictorians of this world, our future leaders, that is absolutely asinine. I cannot believe that.
I'm trying to make the point, sir.
All right, hold on, hold on, gentlemen, hold on, hold on. We need, Mr. Dozier, what did you want to say?
Look, I respect this gentleman as a good father, but even the best father doesn't know what a child is going to do if they have the influence of a Janet Jackson. If your son or your daughter gets up there on graduation day, sir, and commits a lewd act or a sex act, are you going to call me and say, you know, I'm sorry, you were right, I'm wrong? No, you're not going to do that, Fred. You're going to just fade off into the sunset, and I'm the guy that's left having to mop up the fluids from some disgusting sex act with a goat or with a...
Oh, come on, please, sir.
You know, you know how many people are in jail because they thought they, too, could get away with that crime? They got their equal punishment just as well. You cannot assume that children don't have sense enough to make good decisions from what they see out in the world. We have to teach our kids to open their eyes. This is the real world.
Very true, very true. But let me ask you something, Fred. How are you going to feel watching your daughter stand on stage getting her diploma and suddenly she pulls her dress up and points to a carrot she put in her panties or something stupid like
you
that?
Know,
this is what they do. This is what kids do.
No, no, no. When you make the comment that kids are stupid like that, you know, you are really belittling them and you are not teaching them the way.
I agree
with
that.
You know, that is just so...
Kids are off base. You know, today
I am not worried about my child going out in a public place and making
a carrot.
An awkward display like
because... Sir.
Not only have I told her and taught her that is not right,
but,
you know, she knows better.
All right, sir. Well,
that is an embarrassing thing.
I wish we had more parents like you, sir. I truly do, but unfortunately we don't.
I can respect you trying to make an effort because you're right. Something has to be done.
But you need to know this, Fred, that when it comes to kids, kids are just like holes of stupid, and they're holes and they're full of dumb, and we have to scoop the dumb out.
Can't be little children because,
right, I don't agree.
If we're going to take that with, the world is love.
Kids are just as stupid as the day is long, but you got to love them because they can get better.
I'm sorry to feel that way.
Yeah.
It's just sad that
you,
as a California educator,
have
that view of kids.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your call. It is rather negative, isn't it?
I have to cover all my bases. I will not take a phone call the day after graduation from a parent saying, did you see the kid up on stage? He defecated. He committed sex with a fish, something.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Should we cancel graduation because of Janet Jackson?
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm talking with Vernon Dozier. We have phone calls. Janet Jackson's display on television during the Super Bowl has prompted some educators to want to cancel graduation ceremonies. Mr. Dozier is in the state of California with the Southern Section of Southern Section District of Schools in California, and he's saying across the country they just can't take the chance that the kids won't get up on stage and emulate what they saw. You were mentioning when NYPD Blue first went on the air?
That is correct, yeah. It's a television show which, my understanding, featured some level of nudity when it first went on the air. And one of the actors apparently had pulled his pants down or had shown I don't want to say ass, but he showed his rear end on the TV. We went to school, and actually it was a Monday. The show aired originally on a Friday, I think, and I saw two girls holding another girl down and forcing her.
Are you there, sir?
I'm sorry. I lost the connection.
Go ahead.
Are you there, Mr. Edry?
Yeah, we're right here. If you've got a bad cell phone.
I might be in a bad cell now. They had held her down and had a very thick and 335-page history book that they had put between this girl's buttocks and were forcing her to hold there. And it was a level of torture.
They were making her hold a book with the cheeks of her rear end?
Yes, sir. And this was some level of sadistic behavior that they had gotten from NYPD Blue. And I am... I'm a Christian man, and I drop to my knees at night, and I just pray. While I have to sit through graduation... You got to understand, sitting through graduation is exciting, and I like it, but it's also... It can be very warm. You're sitting there in those gowns, and it's... I love the students, but they're kids. They're going to give speeches that are really only interesting to them. You know, they're valedictorian speeches. The kids are nice kids, but please understand, but the speeches they give are just horrific. So I got to sit there for 3 hours of this, and then after that, meet the parents and the grandparents and, you know, act as if I'm interested in what, you know, like I really care that they're there. And put that on top of that now, the possibility that some kid is going to pull his pants all the way down to his ankles and maybe have drawn a happy face on his on the cheeks of his the butt area. And this is what I'm talking about.
Dealing with all of that.
Yes, sir.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Go to Sandra, is it? Sandra, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, my name is Sandra,
yes,
and
Sandra.
I'm in education in Texas. And the problem that I have with this gentleman is that he is considering these children to be mindless children, and these are young people
in adult
stages, and they can make up their own mind.
But they're monkey-like.
Most of the children that I teach are in advanced classes,
right.
And they are just as repulsed about Janet Jackson's actions as you are, sir.
Well, those are a lot of what we call the brown noses.
In our state of Texas,
the brown noses,
we may have an isolated case where a child is going to act out, but you don't set the mold for the majority of the people based on a few isolated incidences.
But we can't take the chance, though, Sandra. And while I agree, children are a wonderful asset to our society. They're ape-like, and what I mean by that is they're simian-like. I love to watch them from my office and through the glass, like little, you know, it's like looking at the primate cage almost at the zoo, you know, because you know they're just small ape-like, and they're going to do things. They see. What do you see an ape do when he sees another ape eat a banana?
Well, these are not apes, sir. These are children with God-given brains to use, and I don't know what you're teaching in California, but that type of ape does not exist in our classroom in Texas.
Can I ask you a question? What do you call it?
You certainly may.
Well, these children, you know, there's some of these kids are so stupid that on the day Princess Diana...
No.
But on the day
you,
Princess
Diana... You do not belong in education if you think our children are stupid. And I'm sorry,
but
you've been in it too long and you're facing burnout and you need to get out of it.
What about that, Mr. Dozier?
Well, I'm sorry?
Well, you mentioned that graduation is boring anyway.
Oh, well, ask this lady, ask any educator. Graduation is insufferably dull. Not because I'm not proud of my kids, but listening to them, when I grow up, I want to be, and the speeches are just, oh, my God. And on top of everything
it's really sad to sit on national radio. I'm coming back from a basketball game tonight.
Yes, ma'am.
And it's 10:40 here in Texas.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm listening to an educator talk about how stupid these children are. I really venture to suggest that you probably are not in education at all.
Ma'am, you know, you can believe what you want.
Well,
I've been a teacher for 32 years, and I'll tell you this much.
It's time that you vacate your position.
I don't know about
somebody
you.
Somebody that's more positive.
Are you trying to tell me?
Are
you telling me the kids do not emulate Janet Jackson? That they don't, and you don't suspect that on graduation day, when you're up there, and I will be too, some kid doesn't try to, you know, come up there with a banana stuck in his pants or something like that. You don't think that'll happen?
Well,
we cannot take the risk.
You mentioned a while ago to a gentleman who tried to talk with you and use reason. You asked him what he would do if one of his children dropped his pants. And
yes.
I can guarantee you what I'd do if one of my children dropped their pants.
Yes, ma'am.
It would be the last time they dropped them.
Well, I don't know what they did.
It's not something that I am going to anticipate because my philosophy is the children are going to behave the way you expect them to, sir.
But, ma'am, you just said that
if you expect the worst out of them, that's what they're going to do.
Well, ma'am, you
so
just said that I'm not dealing appropriately, but you just said you'd kill us, too.
Stupid age and give them the benefit of the doubt.
I didn't say stupid.
Behave correctly, and you may be very surprised.
I said that they were ape-like. I didn't say stupid, but you're the one that just threatened the life of any kid that did anything. So that,
what do you mean, threatened the life?
What, sir?
You threatened, you said that'd be the last time he did it. I take that as a tacit
well,
threat on his life.
Well, I have grown children.
All right.
And I know what children will do, sir. And
last year.
I have coached and I have taught and I'm a principal of a school.
All
and
right.
I can guarantee you that the good Lord blessed you with enough adipose tissue on your gluteus maximus to tan it once in a while so that you learn what's good behavior and not.
Man,
not
we had an incident at Los Gatos, California last year when a student got up on the stage and dropped his pants and had a sock on his penis and yelled, "Look at Mr. Elephant." And the entire student body was shocked.
Well, I didn't hear that. I'm not sure I want to hear that. Heather, Sandra, I should say thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
I didn't hear, what did you say?
We had an incident, I was saying, in the Gatos School District last year during graduation where a kid got up. Lifted up his robe. He had no pants, no underpants on other than socks and wingtips. And he had covered his genitalia with a sock. Yelled something about Mr. Elephant is all I know. And this embarrassed hundreds of parents and students. He embarrassed the school district. And by law, we have to give him his diploma. So don't give me this stuff about not graduating.
You do?
Yes.
Well, I mean, the guy's a screwball. It's called a prank.
A prank, huh? To you, it's a prank. To me, it's a living nightmare. At the end of a long day, listening to these, then I got to go down and meet these parents. Oh, Jesus. And now, here comes smartass with a sock on his genitals. And you say, oh, well, gee.
All right, let me go over to Kelly. Kelly is a high school student. Hi, Kelly. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello.
Hi.
I was just wondering, sir, how have you been in the school district?
I've been in the, teaching at the Belmar Academy in South Pasadena for 23 years, and I just was elevated to the southern section in California. We have two sections. To the southern section, assistant superintendent of schools last fall.
Do you have any children of your own?
I have four children with my first wife.
Okay,
and
so
you're center with my second wife. Okay.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am, I'm right here.
So you're saying that calling kids apes, that they act like apes, are you applying that your own children are acting like apes too? That they're going to sit up there and do what?
No, I love
very
my
few.
I love my children and I love my students, but children, when I was a child, I was the same, are simian-like. When I say ape-like, I mean simian or chimpan. Have you ever seen the little, like a spider monkey?
Yeah,
you know, they swing around
relevant.
And they look stupid.
Excuse me, sir.
And kids
not relevant. We're not animals. I am a 17-year-old student. I go to Oneida High School. I'm about to graduate this year.
And where's
I worked.
I see. Where is Oneida, ma'am?
In New York. Oneida, New York.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I have worked my whole entire life to graduate high school so I could go to college. So I am not like every bump. Now, since I'm saying you want to cancel high school just because one person, Janet Jackson, okay, you're referring to the Super Bowl, something that was planned for a publicity stunt.
Well,
there are millions
of course.
And millions of kids out there, and we're not eight. We work, and I have a job.
Let me ask,
I take care
right.
of my family.
Let me ask you this. What have you got planned for your graduation? Are you going to put something on your panties or something? I mean, seriously.
Excuse me. Implying that somebody is going to do something derogatory like that is just arrogant and ignorant.
I just asked you, do you have something planned? I'm not saying that you do. I just, you have to realize, Kelly.
Yes, and you have to realize, sir, that people aren't like that. Maybe there's one out of 10 million kids who want to do something stupid like that and embarrass themselves. But Sam is saying that all kids are simian-like?
Let me put it to you another way. College is a great thing. A college degree is a marvelous thing to have, and certainly a master's, a doctorate, but
I'm already a certified nurse's aide, and I'm
but
going
a high school diploma
high school.
Is not that big of a thing. So when you graduate from high school, kids are going to go up there with bananas hanging out of their shorts.
How many kids have you known to do that personally? How
I'm
many?
I'm going to tell you a story.
Career?
I did it. I did it when I was in high school. I'm ashamed of it, and I had the hell beat out of me by my father. But I walked up there.
Are you telling me that every other kid is going to make this stupid?
Wait a minute. I'm interested in something here. Did you say you did this, sir?
Yes, I did, Phil.
What did you do?
I'm not proud of it. We pulled a prank. You know.
What kind of a prank?
I walked up there as if I had a banana. You know, underneath my pants, and I had it sticking straight out, and not you know, looked like I had a...
On your pants?
Yeah. Oh, cool. Kelly, ask Mommy to scoop you an extra helping of dum-dum tonight, will you?
Excuse me?
Nothing. Nothing at all. You there? Is the caller there?
I didn't hear what you last said.
I didn't say anything.
I'll tell you what he said. He said, have Mom scoop you an extra helping of dumb tonight.
I did not say that.
Excuse me?
Yeah, that's what he said, Kelly. And then he said, and put a cherry on top of it.
You are a lion sack. Oh.
Okay.
You know what you are, Henry? You're what I usually squeeze out of my lower colon.
Okay, you're really making me upset because...
Look, Kelly, take it easy, all right? Go to your job. Go to your job at the Tasty Freeze.
You want to cancel graduation because you yourself was doing something stupid at your graduation?
What time is your
shift? To graduate high school.
Let me ask you a question. What time does your shift at the Dairy Queen start?
I don't work at the Dairy Queen, thank you very much.
Oh, okay. Just thought maybe you did.
I get paid $6.5 an hour. I work my butt off. I work as hard as I possibly can. I work at Dunkin' Donuts, okay? I work from 6 to 11 today.
Really? Do you give freebies out to your friends? Oh, gotcha. Gotcha. You give free donuts to your friends. See, that's why, Kelly,
no,
I know.
Sir, I
that's why
not
I know.
I don't know why I don't.
You're going to go up on that stage, and you're going to have that bologna and sprout sandwich dangling between your...
Okay, that's it. Kelly, listen, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Is the caller there?
No, the caller ain't there. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Will be right back.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The eighth wonder of the world.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Ted Bell was on our show yesterday saying that the Martha Stewart case has shown us you can get shanked in the back by an employee at any time. That's why he has loyalty tests. He has, for instance, a black employee that he tells racial jokes to just to see if she gets mad or not.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
What's the man's name that called that woman a slut every day?
Yeah, are you talking to me, dear?
Yeah, what's your name?
My name's Ted Bell.
Mr. Ted Bell.
Yes, ma'am.
How long have you been calling a woman, that woman, a slut every morning?
Well, it's an inside thing between me.
No. I asked you how long. How long have you
been? I don't know. It's been it's going on now a good 6 years.
And that woman has not slapped you across your silly face one morning?
You know why she doesn't do that, Patricia? Because she'd be fired. And if she got fired, she's never going
to
get another job as good as one with Ted Bell.
To be fired from you, that's a gift.
Wait a minute. You don't understand the business I'm in.
I don't have to understand
no business.
I need
employee loyalty.
Mr. Beck,
what do you do for a living?
I don't have to understand no business just to know what I'm talking about right now.
What
do you cannot walk up to a woman, any woman, in the morning for 6 years.
What if I'm kidding?
Morning,
what if I'm joking?
For 5 days, for business days, and call her a slut?
What if I'm joking? What if I'm joking?
What if she does not take it as a joke?
But what if she does? Uh-huh, I got you on that one, didn't I?
How did she take it, Mr. Henry? Why don't you tell me? How did she take it?
She's still working for me, isn't she? And she hasn't slapped me. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Ooh, I'm sorry.
That's
I'm sorry.
Because you're paying her.
You know something, Ted? You're really
That's
acting like a child.
Like no. You were talking about. That little boy over at Martha Stewart's office, right? He got paid, too. Like
that
your employee,
dirty little, that
your,
dirty little sycophant.
Employee, he gets paid, right?
Look. What if you and I had a joke that every morning I
would
call you a sloppy cow? Huh?
We wouldn't have no jokes.
Well, let's suppose I was only...
not funny, Mr. Bear.
What if I called you a sloppy cow and I was kidding? And I was only joking.
You don't need to call me no sloppy cow, Mr. Bear.
Well, ma'am, you're right. You're right. I wouldn't know you because generally the people that load up the dock, I never meet them. But I can tell you.
Okay, look at Ted. The guy is, he's a real...
That's all right. You know what? It's all right. All I have to say...
You know, I'm getting busy in here, Patricia. I don't know what to tell you.
Patricia. Martha Stewart is that any employee who
gets a table
like that boy does.
Get all the Mexicans out of the back and get them on a table six.
He could have expected that coming.
Would you mind saying that again, Patricia? Because the restaurant was loud.
What's going on over where you are?
Mr. Bell is in his restaurant.
We are in the middle of our dinner service, Patricia. Excuse me for being successful. Jesus.
Oh my goodness! How are you gonna sit on a show and you're playing tennis?
Hey Patricia, I think I can hear the ding ding. Somebody must have shirts for you to starch.
You're not even funny right now, so I know you're not funny at your in place of business. Okay, that's all I'm saying.
All right, okay.
I'm saying the boy Martha Stewart.
Ted, are you there?
She treated him like that. He deserved to be fired. I mean, he deserved to have her in her back.
Big tall scotch, huh?
What is this man doing?
He's in his restaurant working right now.
Oh, that's... He actually...
Yeah, I asked the lady to quit her yapping on the phone. Patricia?
I should come down there and tell all
you. No, what I'd like you to do is start busting table five.
The people protesting dinner tomorrow ought to come protest your restaurant. I can't believe you have customers in there eating your food.
Yeah. Johnny Walker Black for him. What do you want, red? Johnny Walker Red for him.
Well, that's his problem. He's a drunk.
Hey, Patricia, get on down here.
All that liquor he's ordering.
I got a whole lot of dishes for you to wash.
All right, see you later, Ted.
You're not hanging up on me. You're hanging up on her. You're hanging up on that sloppy ass.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Bill Henry Show.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The issue of gay marriage has returned to the news. It could become an election issue if it isn't already. It could also become a measure to be considered as a constitutional amendment. The Republican president, President Bush, is thinking about proposing a constitutional amendment banning gay marriage. Conservatives of County Chairman Larry Grover joins us. Give us maybe the official stand of the Republican Party on gay marriage. It sounds pretty much to a lot of people like the president is gay bashing, Larry.
No, that is absolutely not the truth, Phil.
Tell us why it isn't.
Well, Phil, we want to make it very clear the stand of the Republican Party on gay marriage. We are not gay bashing. We do not believe that gay people deserve fewer rights than other people. We do not stand against gay marriage per se. We have questions. The area of gay marriage that we have a problem with is gay marriage between homosexual women, traditionally referred to as lesbians. We believe the homosexual woman can be retrieved. She can be changed. We feel that the gay man is beyond retrieval, and so we are completely at ease with gay marriage between men. But my reasons for being against gay marriage for women and the Republican Party's reasons for being against marriage for gay women are twofold. Number one, marriage between two women is diametrically opposed to the reality of women as life givers, as mothers, the caretakers of our children. Two women engaged in a marriage would seem to almost in a way ridicule that. Number two, perhaps more to the point,
Can I just jump in?
Yeah, sure, Phil.
What do you mean gay men are beyond retrieval?
Gay men have made it very clear that they are comfortable with who they are and what they are, you know, however you want to, whatever you think that is. I don't want to get into it. I've had so many debates with so many homosexual men about gay marriage with men. I threw my hands up. I said, fine, great. But... I think there is an understanding among straight people, particularly straight men, that the lesbian is a little bit different. And I wanted to continue with these points.
Well, go ahead. Because it just sounds to me like, you know, you're saying, well, she can be cured and he can't.
I didn't use the word cured. I didn't use the word. I said beyond retrieval. As if this, in other words, the gay man has just moved so far down the highway that you'd run out of gas before you got to him. I guess that's the best point that I can make. We don't have enough gas in the tank to get to where the gay man is. But, for instance, if the gay man was at a gay bar, we don't have, our car can't make it. But if the gay woman is at the homosexual woman bar, we have enough gas and we had the car tuned up to get there. If you can understand that analogy. And
all right, what is your other point?
Number two, and perhaps more to the point, two women marrying sends the unspoken message that men are somehow lacking as life partners. This is quite insulting, I think, to straight men, and we haven't really addressed the fact that a woman who prefers to be with another woman insults men. To say, well, she is more satisfactory as a partner, and you couldn't, you know, you don't do it good. And my final point would then be that straight men should be allowed the opportunity to finally answer back to these homosexual women for the years of insults by saying, you want to cut us out of your life, great, but you don't get to get married. So I think we're entitled to punish them for slapping us in the face and saying, I'd rather have it with, and I don't mean to say have it, I'm trying to be, I know that you have a lot of people listening, I'd rather have good sex with a woman gives it to me better.
All right, but you're in favor of, I want to be clear, you're saying the Republican Party,
right,
is in favor of gay marriage between men, not gay women, because gay women or lesbians are retrievable.
I think it goes without saying that gay men, first of all, historically, gay men have been around culturally and historically much longer than the lesbian. The lesbian came about as a political statement, not biological. It occurred, and I've done a great deal of research, the homosexual woman occurred most significantly during the latter half of the 19th century when the strict Victorian codes of the day were seen as repressive. So in other words, gay men are way down the you know, if sex was a highway, gay men are further down the sex highway than gay women. They're probably in another state, but gay women, the homosexual woman, is still probably at a rest stop. I'm trying to use these metaphors to help people understand.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County on the Republican stand on gay marriage. Is it homophobic? Is it political? What is it? You are saying gay marriage among men, fine. Gay marriage among women. All right, now I want to mention to you that L.A. County Sheriff, the police report that your office provided me states that you told police you were doing canvassing for the Republican Party and the Bush campaign on the night of January 10th.
All right, you're going to bring up the Jane Hudson incident.
Yeah, but this was, you went into a nightclub in Hermosa Beach called Jane Hudson's, right?
That is exactly correct. If I can be clear, this was canvassing with particular regard to the question of gay marriage.
All right. Were you aware that Jane Hudson's was a lesbian bar?
I was aware of that. I was speaking, and let me check my notes. I was speaking to a woman named Caroline Dotrieve, and I was telling her, and she was a homosexual, that she could have a man such as myself instead of settling for and I think I used the term fake man because I had been drinking since about 4 that afternoon, and I'm not making any excuses. I had been drinking and it was about 9 o'clock at night, and I had started at about 2 because we had watched some football. Instead of settling for a fake man like this leather-jacketed woman trying to look like a man that she was with, I said you could be...
So you were in there insulting people?
No, sir, I was not. I was...
Well, you're telling a lesbian in a lesbian bar, hey, you can be with me instead of this leather-jacketed woman trying to look like a man.
All right, well, You know, Phil, I...
Let me ask you, this leather jacketed woman, her name is Ms. Joey Hayes, right?
I want the record to show that she's going to be the recipient of the lawsuit as well.
But her name was Joey Hayes. You claim this woman assaulted you, correct?
Well, excuse me, but I'd like to get to the specifics. This speaks to the need for lesbian women to humiliate straight men and show them not to be worthy partners. I was talking with Caroline when this woman assaulted me.
You were just talking to her. You were just talking to her?
I was talking to her, and I was telling her she would be happier with a straight man, and I was demonstrating how it felt to have a man touch her breast, etc. These women don't know, and you have to understand. The sensory reality of the touch of a man, many lesbians don't know.
So you're touching this other woman's friend, and she got angry, see?
Yes, I would say she got angry, sir, yes, and I was forcibly ejected from the club. And
all right, but you were forcibly ejected from this. Let me get the story out here, Larry, because it needs to be told. You touched this woman inappropriately. You were thrown out of the club. You came back later. Another fight broke out.
I went back to get a credit card that I had left at the bar. I saw the girl again. I asked her again, wouldn't she prefer to be with me? She said...
The quote that she said, you said, wouldn't you prefer to be with me instead of some tampon-wearing freak who's trying to look like Vin Diesel? Didn't you say that?
You know something, Mr. Henry? I will not comment on what the police, what the lesbian said. I will say...
Well, the quote is, you insulted the woman again, and you were assaulted again.
I was not only assaulted, I was taken to a pool table, and I was assaulted with a pool cue. I had my pants pulled down... And in front of 40 other women, I was pushed over a pool table and assaulted with a pool cue. And by this Joey, okay, and some of her friends. Women need to know both sides of the relationship issue, Mr. Henry. I was simply offering the homosexual woman a chance to feel what it was like to be with a man. And instead, what I got was humiliated in front of these women. And I had contacted a rape crisis hotline right after I left.
You contacted a rape crisis hotline. So we'd say you were assaulted with a pool cue. You were raped with it. All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. This is a gruesome story. Larry Grover, who was canvassing for his Conservatives of Kern County, which is some kind of Republican club on the issue of gay marriage, walked into a lesbian bar, put his hand inappropriately on a woman in there, and was beaten up by her girlfriend and some of her friends. Mr. Grover says the Republican Party position on gay marriage is simple. They are in favor of gay marriage for men, but for lesbians, they are against it because they believe, quote, and I'm quoting directly from their paper here, the lesbian female can be retrieved. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Hey, Jack Ball. It's entertainment. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Larry Grover joins us from Conservatives of Kern County. What's the official Republican stand on gay marriage? They are not opposed to gay marriage between men. However, the Conservatives of Kern County, the Republican Party, feel that gay marriage between women should not be allowed because women... are you saying basically women are still, you know, even gay women are straight, they just don't want to deal with it, or what?
I think there's an element of that, Phil. I think there's an element of frustration, really, on the part of a lot of... I've been involved in politics for a great many number of years. Politically, my involvement, in fact, cost me my family, my wife and children, who left me 4 or 5 years ago. I was in the midst of trying to get Bill Clinton to answer for his crimes against this great republic. My wife felt I was spending too much time on that and left. And it is true that in my own personal life, I have not had as much of a social life as I'd like. And I walk into a bar that is proprietized by a homosexual woman whose clientele are primarily homosexual women. And to use the old Navy saying, there's more ass in there than a car seat gets. This kind of thing. And I haven't had a very active social life. It's insulting. And it would be insulting to any man. So I went in, and I said, you know, and I said what I said.
Well, what you did is you went in there and you touched a woman inappropriately after you'd been drinking heavily.
I don't think any of that warrants being humiliated by some women who, some half men, half women, these half breeds with moosed spiked hair and leather jackets to be treated like some kind of a jail bitch with a pool cue. I don't think it warrants that at all.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. This occurred in a bar called Jane Hudson's in Hermosa Beach. Here is Rachel. Go ahead, Rachel.
Hey there, how are you?
Yes, good, ma'am.
All righty. Well, I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, and just to set the record straight before I start, I am a straight female. Basically, I feel that this situation is ridiculous. The comments that have been made are ridiculous, and basically, the entire idea of punishing homosexual women because they insult men and they embarrass men and it's a slap in the face to straight men is ridiculous. This is basically the just ridiculous speakings of a man who feels inadequate himself and who has nothing better to do with his time than to sit and talk on a radio talk show because he has no wife. His wife left him. He feels like an inadequate man. He is insecure.
Well, of course, I think any man would feel inadequate when a woman...
Excuse me, sir. I am speaking.
Well, I understand that, but I think you're making some assumptions that need to be addressed.
No, the fact is you yourself are insecure and you feel inadequate, so you feel the need to punish homosexual women. And the fact is, if you've done all of your research and you know history so well, then you would know that because of the Victorian oppressive movement, that women have moved along in this power struggle with men for a very long time. And this has nothing to do with sexuality as much as it does that this is a power struggle. Men
are you telling me that you approve of this diesel guy taking a 32-inch pool cue? So you think I should have been raped with a pool cue?
You want to know why?
With a pool cue?
You want to know why I approve?
I think you are approving of violence. You're approving
no,
the very thing
no,
that women
I'm
are.
Not.
Well, that's what happened to me. I got
a
pool cue.
If you would listen.
The homosexual man has been around for longer than lesbians.
If you went into a straight bar that was patronized by straight men and straight women, and you grabbed some straight woman's ass, her boyfriend would beat the crap out of you, and you would deserve it because you are being an ass.
No. I admit that I was out of line. I already said I've been
drunk
drinking.
And you felt that you had the right, and you didn't. Period.
Well, if the,
ma'am, watch your language.
You already don't have a wife.
Well, ma'am, first of all, I don't approve of anybody having to take a 32-inch pool cue up their rear end, but apparently you do. That's number one. Number two.
You shouldn't be touching people inappropriately when you're drunk.
I admit I've been drinking, but why don't the homosexual women admit that theirs is a political choice? Based upon the misunderstanding that somebody wanted him to cook dinner once, and they get upset.
Absolutely, absolutely not true.
Yeah,
I want to
jump in here.
For you.
I want to jump in here. Are you saying, Larry, that the entire reality of the lesbian female is based upon the fact that they're pissed off they got asked to eat to cook dinner?
I think essentially they're angry because somebody told them what to do. Yeah, get in there and get some makeup on. And you can't tell me what to do. So they go out, pull wool and carpet munch.
All right, I don't want this kind of conversation.
You are absolutely stereotyping 100% because if you ever came to Atlanta, Georgia, and spoke to any of the lesbian women that I know, then you would know that the majority of them are extremely feminine, extremely successful young professionals who wear makeup, get dressed up in pantyhose and high heels, who go and have a job and who most of the time come home to their female partner.
Ma'am, I would like to point out to my audience at this time that Atlanta, Georgia is a well-known hotbed of homosexual lesbian activity. It is well-known to police agencies across the country. You take a look at those two mustachioed women and the Indigo Girls. You're telling me they're feminine? They look like they came off of a chain gang, off of a construction crew. I am telling you that it...
Do you have a problem with just butched up lesbians? Is that your problem?
Basically, that sounds like that's his problem because they're not interested in him and they don't appeal to him because they don't look like a nice piece of ass for him to grab.
It's obvious you've taken Women's Studies 101. The only reason you're talking like this is so you can get a free ticket to the Dinosaur Lesbian Golf Tournament.
You are so incredibly ignorant, as a matter of fact. I just graduated from Georgia State Law School, okay? I have a ton of friends who are both male and female gay people, okay?
Yeah, you've made that point before. You wear that like a badge, don't you? Hey, I know gay people. Have any of them been in Divin?
You wear it like a badge because you got your ass beat by a girl.
Oh, she's a girl, is she?
Yeah, she is.
I'd like you to meet this Joey Hayes.
Next time you decide to go to the library and do a little bit of research, why don't you research some of the biological technology that has come out and some of the biology studies that have come out that shows that homosexuality is DNA-based?
I think I'm hearing...
Why don't you look that up and see that you
Rachel,
are wrong?
Rachel, I think I hear them calling your name for your poetry reading now. Jesus.
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
I think the lady does.
It means that he is an ignorant, right, closed-minded, immature, insecure, inadequate asshole. That's what that means.
All right, thank you very much. 1-800-449.
What did she call me?
Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Lesbian marriage. Gay marriage between men, okay. Lesbian marriage, not okay, according to the Republican Party. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Fair and balanced without the porn. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Back here on the air with Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County about the Republican stand on gay marriage. They are not opposed to gay marriage among men, correct, Larry?
That is correct.
But they are among women.
Republicans are against lesbian marriage. I support the gay man because I've studied them very closely. I have... immersed myself, if you will, in the study of them. I am not gay myself. I'm very straight, but I have spent time studying the gay, and I find them to be men who they won't be talked out of it.
Now, what makes you think lesbians, so to speak, can be talked out of it?
The reason why I feel that, Mr. Hendry, is because. This Joey Hayes,
the woman that you called a Vin Diesel-looking freak.
All right, I was angry, but when she was doing that to me with that pool cue and then chalks up the other end for a laugh, I knew she hated herself at that moment and that she probably would want to know me better. And so... I'm not angry at her. Well, I'm angry because you can imagine, I can see the humor in it now, laying there on the table with a pool cue coming out of my, you know, rear end. But I was angry, and although she was frightening to look at, I'm sure she'd love to be with a man.
Hey, Larry, I'm sorry what happened to you, man, but you just didn't make any sense right then.
Well, I'm sorry if you're not listening carefully.
No, I'm listening very carefully. I don't like her. I think she's ugly, but I'm sure she'd like to be with a man, and I'm angry because I had a pool cue, and she chalked up the other end for a laugh. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about the fact that the lesbian homosexual female can be retrieved, recalibrated, and readmitted into society, re-released, if you will, after a period of reconditioning and assimilation. Whereas the gay man is immune to reassimilation. He is beyond the reach of the parameters of a normal society.
All right, 1-800-449-8686.
The gay man likes one type of thing, another gay man. The lesbian is, she's blurry. She doesn't know what she likes. Is it a fake man? Does she want a woman with lipstick? Does she want some woman who is trying to look like Bruce Willis? You know, does she want a woman that looks exactly like Homer Simpson? Is that what she wants? Because she can have it if she wants it. This bar was full of them.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Shelly, hi. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Shelly? Okay, Shelly's put her on hold.
Wait, are you calling Michelle?
Michelle, go ahead.
Okay. Hi. I just want to say that I think... Are you trying to say that women can't decide their sexuality as much as men?
I'm saying that the lesbian occurs in nature as the result of having been told by men that they need to bake more and get into some pantyhose, etc.
Bake more?
Yes.
Michelle, you there? Okay, well, we lost her, too. All right, 1-800-449-8686. I'm running out of time here anyway, Mr. Grover, but I will tell you this. To make the statement that... that you like women, but that lesbians are somehow, you know, to be disliked and not trusted, seems to be contradictory. See what I'm saying?
I do. I enjoy women immensely. I don't like it when they try to turn me into a pool cue rack. I don't like it when they use my butt as a play.
All right, I understand that. I don't need the specifics of that anymore. You got assaulted by some women.
Women. If you want to call them women, be my guest. They had hair on their upper lip. They had jackets. They smelled just like a guy. These women are, I think they can be pulled back, but it's going to take an awful lot of nair and a whole lot of and why in the hell any woman would want to look like Bruce Valanche?
Whoever he is.
Well, he writes the jokes for the Oscars, and he's got a beard.
Okay. 1-800-449...
I myself can offer a woman very clean... What I'm trying to say is clean sexual relations. I offer her the opportunity to have respectful sexual relations with a man who will require cleaning before and after the act, both the floor and the walls, as well as the bed, a man who will not require them to remove any clothing whatsoever before we create the act of baby making.
Okay, dude.
I'm sorry, I'm very nervous.
Yeah, I would be too, man, if, what happened to you happened to me. Good luck, dude, and, you cats in the Republican Party with this gay marriage thing, figure it out and then go on the radio, man. Don't make it up as you're going along.
Look, Mr. Henry, there's still blue chalk on my rear end. How do you expect...
I, that's fine. I know, you're confused. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry, drug addict. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Doug Danger is a gay man and a gay journalist, as he's often said, and he was on our show yesterday saying that he was taking his own poll on gay marriage. He'd ask people, how do you feel about gay marriage? And if they said they didn't like it, he'd say, oh yeah, well I'm gay, now how do you feel about it, with a finger in their chest. And for some reason they changed their mind.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
This guy is ridiculous. How can he dare to encroach his own opinions on someone else and step on their own individualism?
Their own what?
Their own individualism.
Well, let me ask you, are you in favor of gay marriage, yes or no?
No.
All right, so in other words, you want to piss me off.
Exactly. Because how dare you try to tell me how to think?
That proves it. That proves that you really don't have an opinion about it. You just want to piss me off. Now, see, as a gay, only a gay man can get that truth out of you.
Excuse me, I have a gay woman sitting right next to me, and she agrees with me.
Are you gay?
The same way.
Are you gay?
No.
You know I'm gay?
Yes.
All right. So, and you are in favor of gay marriage?
No.
Yeah, but you just said you're against it because you want to tighten my jaws, right?
Nope. I just want to point out.
See, you lied again because
you did.
You
step on someone else's toes and say, hey, look, I'm gay, think my way, and screw what you think.
Wait a
minute. Your own way.
I don't know why you're against gay marriage. You got a girlfriend sitting there who would probably love to be your wife. And I've talked to about 100 teens, and I only had to really slap about three of them.
You know what? You know why she wouldn't want to be my girlfriend? Because she respects my own opinion about my life.
Yeah, but you're hanging around.
I have a mother of two small children.
You're hanging around with her because the gay lifestyle is calling you.
No, because she's been my best friend since we were 14.
That's like saying you got a blacket for a best friend. It's impossible. Only whites hang with whites and straights hang with straights. Now,
what kind of world do you live in, man?
Oh, stop it, Phil. I've talked to 100 teenagers. Most of them are honest. Yeah, man, I'm in favor of it. Yeah, yeah. Two of them got out of line. I slapped them. And I don't like to do that. I don't like to slap young people. I don't like to slap them across the face and see them cry.
There is no way that you live in a real world.
Well, I'm telling you, Doug, you slap one of my kids.
Oh, here we go. You got to act tough again.
I'm not acting tough. You're the guy acting tough. Hey, what do you think about gay marriage? I'm against it. Yeah? Think about it again.
So you're calling me a bully.
You're slapping kids. You're pushing this lady around, calling her a liar, saying...
She's the one that said that the only reason why she was against gay marriage is because she wanted to piss me off. So that's not honest. But you know what?
How can you tell me
you
know
what I'm
saying... Wait a minute.
Ask your girlfriend. You say your girlfriend's on the fast pitch team, right?
She's in the car, or she's in the store right now, but she is riding alongside me in the car.
She's fast pitch.
What?
What do you mean fast pitch?
She's a diesel dyke.
Dutch, she did.
How in the heck do you call someone something like that when you act the way you do?
Ma'am, I'm trying to determine, are you the gay one or is she?
She is.
Oh,
I'm married with two small children.
And you're in favor of gay marriage, and she's against it.
No, she has been married for 12 years.
She's been married for 12 years. Your friend,
yes,
Julie.
Yes, she has.
Is she married to a guy?
No.
Well, I don't understand.
I do not agree with
her
lifestyle.
She's a gay woman.
But I respect her enough to still be her friend. That has nothing to do with our friendship.
Ask her if she's your friend and she's gay. Ask her how well she'll treat you when the gay riot comes down. Yeah, yeah. Because that's when it's all going to be...
Stop with the gay riot.
You know what?
She has marched in gay pride marches, okay?
I think she respects anyone
that has a different opinion than she does.
Julie, I'm going to say this to you with all respect, but I think you more than once have been curious about eating a box lunch, haven't you?
What do you mean eating a box lunch?
I mean that Julie is a wannabe box lunch eater. And she's hanging out with a gay woman. Have you heard of a threesome? She wants you to come over to have a little lesbo sandwich with her and her girlfriend so that you can...
Will you stop?
You know, I've been asked about threesomes before, and I've turned them down every single time, and it's not...
Yeah, you know why? Because those women won't shave.
All right.
That has nothing to do with it.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Oh, boy. Doug Danger, a gay man. And a gay, what is he? He's a gay man and a gay woman. Doug Danger. Sure. Do you eat your lunch in Box Canyon? Yes or no? one 800 449 8686. This is the extremely juvenile and childish and not even worth listening to Phil Hendry Show. The radio show that has taken talk radio right, well, along with a few other shows, right into the sewer, because it used to be such an edifying and intelligent forum, filled with all kinds of interesting and intelligent conversation. And didn't the world improve as a result of it? Not. Anyway, you've just heard us make a point about gay marriage over the last 50 minutes of this show that you won't hear anywhere else. Why? Because nobody's that dumb, I guess. I don't know. The other hosts are smarter than me. So a guy wrote me an email, though, and I thought that it bears repeating. He said, did we break already? Yeah, we already broke. He said, okay, Phil, gay marriage is a symbol, or marriage is a symbol for straight people. Ask me, while many of us in the gay community would love to be able to celebrate the societal initiation of marriage, if you will. Many gay people would like that, but we're not allowed to. We're not allowed to because that's something for straight people. And then he went on to say, yeah, you mean like Britney Spears? And I go, man, the dude's got a point. So a bunch of people who are well-meaning, who would like to join together and maybe have something meaningful, they don't get to, but some dim bulb, and I mean a dim bulb like Britney Spears and that boy trash she was with, they get married for 30 hours or whatever it was, and then she goes crying to mommy and she hires a lawyer and annuls it because, you know, Britney's got a drinking problem. Britney Spears obviously is an alcoholic. Let's get it said. Okay, can we stop? Nobody goes to Las Vegas, gets married, and the next day goes, huh? Without being a blackout drunk. Do you understand what I mean by a blackout drunk? A blackout drunk is someone, well, that's an alcoholic who completely blacks out. They don't know what they did. They wake up the next day next to a can of tuna, and the night before they thought it was a beautiful woman. This is what I'm talking about. This is a sad thing. And if you want to help Britney Spears out, get her over to wherever it is they took the, you know, the guy with the OxyContin. Get him over there and have it checked out thoroughly, man. Put her on a brain scan. So, yeah, you mean that kind of respect for the sanctity of marriage? Why not let some gay people get married? If you replace some knucklehead like that, and I ain't just singling out Britney Spears. It's countless freaking straight people that crap all over marriage. Give me this bull crap about how it's for straight people. Where'd you ever get that idea? Yeah, it's just for straight people, and it's a symbol of, well, you know what, if it is a symbol, straight folks have taken it, and they've basically flushed it right down the john. So you know what, it's time to give the gay folks a shot at it. That's right. And a constitutional amendment, the reason why the president wants to propose a constitutional amendment, you know why he wants to do that, don't you? Can anybody tell me why the president of the United States wants to propose a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage? Anybody know? The president is doing that because he is a smart man. He understands the law. He wants to propose an amendment to the Constitution to ban gay marriage because at present, banning gay marriage is unconstitutional. To ban it, you are violating the Constitution of the United States of America. The state of California, for instance, is violating the Constitution of the United States of America, as is every single state that does not legalize marriage between gay people. It is a violation of the Constitution. That's not me talking, that's President Bush talking, because that's why he wants an amendment. Now, I still want to check out the legality. Can you amend the Constitution with an unconstitutional amendment? In other words, could the people of the United States vote to reinstate concentration camps for Jewish people? Could we have an amendment to the Constitution to do that? Why not? We've amended the Constitution to say, but in this case, it's okay. Everybody's created equal, except we got to put concentration camps. Once you amend the Constitution, you have changed the basic thrust, if you will, legal thrust of the Constitution. You're saying equal rights for everybody except in this area. And that's what the president wants to do. He wants to amend the Constitution to say, yes, everybody's equal. Yes, it's the greatest country in the world. Yes, this and yes, that. Except in the area of marriage, gay people not allowed to be married, right? Now, it's wrong. It's ignorant. It's pandering to the real stupid people in this society. You know, I talked to a bunch of people at a cocktail party the other day. You wouldn't believe this. I was at some party out in Malibu for some guy. He's a cat that my wife, he's a writer. He's a nice cat, you know, and my wife went over there, and the guy writes books and all this bull crap. So I'm standing around talking to all these Republicans, because it was basically Republicans. How come you don't like gay marriage? Well, you know, because the marriage thing, that's kind of the straight club. Oh, yeah? Because you don't dig the whole symbol thing, you know, gay people marry. Yeah, that's right, yeah. But the fact of the matter remains that straight people look at marriage the way they look at a Kleenex. Straight people look at marriage the way they look at a Kleenex. You just blow your nose on it and throw away. Wipe your ass with it and throw away. That's so don't give me this bull crap about how it's such a sacred thing for straight folks and gay folks are butting in on the party, huh? Half of the freaking straight people in this country, man, for all the respect they got for marriage, you might as, like I said, you might as well be wiping your rear end with it. In fact, we have more honor and respect. We have more true, regal respect for toilet paper than we do for marriage. We actually value toilet paper in our society because we'll always have toilet paper because we'll always need toilet paper. But marriage, whatever. Seriously, though, I'm not kidding. Somebody needs to check out Britney Spears. I think she's a blackout alcoholic, and it's only going to get worse, and her next album, I hear, sucks. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.